Hello, my fellow survivors, victims, and practitioners of recreational violence. This is the Surviving White Belt podcast. Your shoulder to cry on after the 200-pound gym buddy has been cross-facing you for 5 minutes straight. Your crutch to lean on when that skinny blue belt has been leg-locking you again and again every time he could find your foot. But most importantly, it's your place to ask questions, share stories, and realize that you're not the only one struggling. The goal of Surviving White Belt is to help you stay on the path and enjoy the beauty of jiu-jitsu. Hello everybody, it's been a while and unfortunately I wasn't quite able to consistently record new episodes. I've had a busy few weeks, but I'll make sure to do better from now on. As I said multiple times, consistency is key, but sometimes I also struggle to deliver reliably. Anyways, as promised, this episode is about whether or not beginners should care about learning leg locks early on in their jiu-jitsu career or not. In my opinion, the simple answer is yes. Even though leg locks are not the first thing you usually will see in trial class, I think they're essential to modern jiu-jitsu. One of, if not the best of active jiu-jitsu coaches, John Danaher, in a quote famously said, "Why should you ignore 50% of the body?" Of course, he was speaking about the legs, and in my opinion, this mindset should be implemented right at the start of any grappling practitioner's journey. In the past, it was often said that leg locks don't work or that they're kind of a dirty trick. But in the last few years, they have become absolutely essential in the success of most of the highest level grapplers like Craig Jones and Gordon Ryan and many others. That's why I think that leg locks, just as armbars, triangles and rear naked chokes, should become part of everybody's basic jiu-jitsu attacks. Especially when you're dealing with stronger, bigger opponents and also people of higher skill level, a decent leg lock game can get you out of many bad positions and right into strong attacking cycles. Having a strong leg lock game can help you quickly go from defensive into offensive cycles, creating a lot of opportunities for counterattacks and escapes from bad positions. Ashigarami, the Japanese term for leg entanglements, should become part of your everyday jiu-jitsu vocabulary. The quicker you learn how to maneuver different leg entanglements, the easier you will be able to create a well-rounded game that is also really dangerous. There are many escapes that will allow you to enter straight into your opponent's legs, preventing them from further attacks or at least slowing them down, as they will have to respect the leg lock first before they continue their own offensive cycle. This can help you take a breather and will allow you to recover for a moment, even if you're not able to finish. What is essential with leg locks, though, is that you understand the defensive just as well as the offensive part of the game, as many leg lock situations will put you in danger of getting leg locked yourself or having your back taken if you're not careful. This is why understanding when there is danger of getting your leg broken is essential. Practicing leg locks requires patience and a careful partner, as lack of knowledge can quickly result in injuries. Depending on the specific leg lock you're practicing, you should be very careful about finding the right time to tap. With heel hooks, the pain will only come once the damage has already been done, whereas with straight ankle locks, especially when locked around the calf, the pain can come often much sooner than the actual damage of ligaments or bones. From my own experience, I can say that when I practiced straight ankle locks for the first few months, I would tap much earlier than needed, just because I wasn't used to getting my calf squeezed. This pain will become less over time, and you will learn that the real break usually comes from bending your foot, almost like a ballerina, and then applying some breaking pressure. It's no shame to tap early, as there's no point in getting injured. And the more you practice, the better you will understand what kind of pain and pressure it is that really puts you into danger. I would recommend to start with the basic leg entanglements like Irimi Ashigarami, which is also known as single leg X or straight Ashi. Learn how to enter into a good control that allows you to stay close to your partner's hips and control the knee line. Do that from standing and from the ground and really become proficient at it. Most leg locks will be less effective or not work at all once you've lost control of the opponent's knees and hips. So really make sure to work on controlling the knee line and the hips of your opponents. The reason why I like leg locks so much is because it allows me to chain my favorite upper body submission, the front triangle, with my favorite leg locks like a straight foot lock or different kinds of heel hooks. If your partner stands up while defending the triangle or opens the close guard standing, you will often have the opportunity to either enter the legs into single leg X or straight ashi, allowing you to attack the legs straight away, or you can also grab both their ankles and sweep them, allowing you to pass or enter the legs too. Having these two relatively simple techniques in your arsenal will allow you to create dangers when your opponent is about to escape, putting them on defense again while you can go straight back to offense. If you don't feel sure about being able to sweep or attack them when they're getting up from your guard, you will often hold on to upper body submissions for way too long, allowing your opponent to end up on top, putting you into a defensive cycle where they start attacking you. Which, of course, makes all of your previous efforts worthless, and it also will deteriorate your confidence in your attacks little by little. The more you work on switching from upper to lower body attacks, or the other way around, the less you will have to depend on holding on to dear life when a submission has already been lost. Instead, you will realize when is the time to switch your attacks and initiate a new threat. Working on leg locks will also help you creating more dexterity and improve the general awareness of your body. All of us know how to grip and control somebody with our hands, because we've been doing that all of our lives. But very few of us actually have used our legs for anything but walking, running, cycling, or maybe swimming. Learning how to control somebody only by using your legs will create new connections in your brain and allow you to refine all of your movements faster. Basic moves to improve your leg locks are pummeling of your legs for inside position and sliding in for an ashigarami by controlling your partner's ankle and knee. And make sure that you understand how to come from one position into the other and which exposure for attacks you will have. And also, which exposure of attacks your opponents will have while you are attacking their leg, because there's quite some danger when you're playing around with that. As I said, each position will come with their own benefits and issues, sometimes allowing you to create strong breaking opportunities by yourself, while also exposing your own legs to equally or sometimes even more dangerous counterattacks. When you're starting to play around with leg locks, make sure that you agree with your partner to not go all out, or even better, ask somebody more experienced to put you through the various positions and allow you to experience the various breaking points without actually breaking you. A lot of injuries when doing leg locks happen due to uncontrolled movements, especially fast turns when your knees are stuck. So if you're not sure in which direction to turn, better just tap. If you're the one attacking the leg, try to release it before your partner turns into a dangerous direction. I've been guilty on holding on to a beginner's leg recently when he suddenly turned and exploded away, resulting in a knee injury. I still feel terrible when thinking about it, even though it happened so fast that I wasn't able to react properly. I just should not have held onto that position for that long beforehand, or not even started touching his legs. But I'm also just a human with kind of a big ego that I'm trying to contain, but sometimes I'm just not able. And that's the second aspect of getting injured when engaging in leg locks, the ego. Oftentimes, you don't want to tap because you feel like it's not really on and you still can escape when it just pops. Even though it happened to me a bunch of times already, I still seem to learn very slowly, risking injury way too often for no real reason at all, and it's just my ego not wanting to give in, thinking that I can still do better, and oftentimes I can't. So please don't be as stubborn and dumb as me and just tap. More importantly, when rolling with less experienced people, just let go if they're about to hurt themselves. It's really not worth injuring your partner and having a bad conscience for doing so. In general, when learning leg locks, try to choose a responsible partner and prefer going light and experimental over going full force and using explosive movements. Injuries are part of the game, but if you can, try to prevent them by learning from more experienced people and tap earlier rather than later when rolling. Even though I've spent one or the other week or month not being able to walk properly, I'm still happy that I've learned leg locks as early as I did, and they are still one of my favorite parts of the game. I'm still constantly reevaluating and working on them, and if I can, I'm trying to avoid mistakes, but sometimes I still get injured. So please, again, don't be as dumb as me. Just tap earlier. Doesn't make sense to tape your feet all the time because that stuff's quite expensive. And of course, you'd want to prevent damage on your knees in the first place, as that will often lead to quite some time off the mats and, in worst case, chronic knee injuries or even surgery. To help yourself with injury prevention, try to implement some of the exercises from the Knees Over Toes guy Ben Patrick into your warm-up and workout routine, and avoid getting into situations in which you're not sure of the possible risk implied. That's it for episode 11. I hope you enjoyed the comeback, and I'll try to get back to putting out episodes more regularly soon. Thanks for tuning in, enjoy your training, take care, and until next time.